This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Taylor Burton. Fairy Tales by Hans Christian Andersen. The Fir Tree. Out in the woods stood a nice little fir tree. The place he had was a very good one. The sun shone on him. As for fresh air, there was enough of that, and round him grew many large-sized comrades, pines as well as firs. But the little fir wanted so very much to be a grown-up tree. He did not think of the warm sun. He did not care for the little cottage children that ran about and prattled when they were in the woods looking for wild strawberries. The children often came with a whole pitcher full of berries, or a long row of them threaded on a straw, and sat down near the young tree and said, "Oh, how pretty he is! What a nice little fir!" But this was what the tree could not bear to hear. At the end of the year, he had shot up a good deal, and after another year, he was another long bit taller. For with fir trees, one can always tell by the shoots how many years old they are. Oh, were I but such a high tree as the others are, sighed he, then I should be able to spread out my with the tops to look into the wide world. Then would the birds build nests among my branches, and when there was a breeze, I could bend with as much stateliness as the others." Neither the sunbeams, nor the birds, nor the red clouds which morning and evening sailed above him gave the little tree any pleasure. In winter, when the snow lay glittering on the ground, the hair would often come leaping right over the little tree. Oh, that made him so angry. But two winters were past, and in the third, the tree was so large that the hair This happened every year. And the young fir tree that had now grown to a very comely size trembled at the sight. For the magnificent great trees fell to the earth with noise and cracking. The branches were lopped off, and the trees looked long and bare. They were hardly to be recognized. Then they were laden carts, and the horses dragged the fruit out of the wood. Where did they go to? What? Spring, when the swallows and storks came, the tree asked them, "Don't you know where they have been taken? Have you not met them anywhere?" The swallows did not know anything about it. The stork looked, musing, nodded his head, and said,
"Yes, I think I know. I met many ships as I was flying hither from Egypt. On the ships were magnificent masts, and I venture to assert that it was they that smelt so of fur. I may congratulate you, for they lifted themselves on high most majestically."
"Oh, were I but old enough to fly across the sea. But how does the sea look in reality? What is it like?"
"That would take a long time to explain," said the stork. And with these words, off he went.
"Rejoice in thine growth," said the sunbeams. "Rejoice in thine vigorous growth, and in the fresh life that moveth within thee."
And the wind kissed the tree, and the dew wept tears over him, but the fir understood it not. Christmas came. Quite young trees were cut down, trees which often were not even as large or as of the same age as this fir tree, who could never rest but always wanted to be off. These young trees, they were always the finest looking, retained their branches. They were laid on carts, and the horses drew them out of the wood.
"Where are they going to?" asked the fir. "They are not taller than I. There was one indeed that was considerably shorter. And why do they retain all their branches? Whither are they taken?" "Beetle, beetle," chirped the sparrows, "we have peeped in at the window to the town below. Beetle, we can either not take him, but we
different notes. And then, asked the fir tree, trembling in every bough. And then, what happens then? We did not see anything more. It was incomparably beautiful. I would fain know if I am destined for so glorious a career, cried the tree, rejoicing. That is still better than to cross the sea. What a longing do I suffer! What a Christmas become! I am now tall, and my branches spread like the others that were carried off last year. Oh, were I but already on the cart! Were I in the warm room with all the splendor and magnificence? Yes, and something better, something still grander will surely follow. Or wherefore should they thus ornament me? Something better, something still grander must follow. But what? Oh, how I long, how I suffer. I do not know myself what is the matter with me. Rejoice in our presence, said the air in the sunlight. Rejoice in my own fresh youth. But the tree did not rejoice at all. He grew and grew and was green both winter and summer. People that saw him said, "What a fine tree!" And towards Christmas he was one of the first that was cut down. The axe struck deep into the very pith. The tree fell to the earth with a sigh. He felt the pang. It was like a swoon. He could not think of happiness. He was sorrowful at being separated from his home, from the place where he had sprung up. He well knew that he should never see his dear old comrades, the little bushes and flowers around him anymore, perhaps not even the birds. But the departure was not at all agreeable. The tree only came to himself when he was unloaded in the courtyard with the other trees and heard a man say, "That one is splendid. We don't want the others." Then two servants came in rich livery and carried the fir tree into a large and splendid drawing room. Portraits were hanging on the walls, and near the white porcelain stove stood two large Chinese vases with lions on the covers. There, too, were large easy chairs, silken sofas, large tables full of picture books and full of toys worth hundreds and hundreds of crowns. At least, the children said so. And the fir tree was stuck upright in the filled with sand, but no one could see that it was a cask. The green cloth was hung all round it, and it stood on a large, gaily colored carpet. Oh, how the tree quivered! What was to happen? The servants, as well as the young ladies, declared, on one branch there hung little nets cut out of colored paper, and each net was filled with sugar plums. Among the other boughs, gilded apples and walnuts were suspended, looking as though they had grown there. And little blue and white tapers were placed among the leaves. Dolls that looked in the world like men. She had never beheld such before, were seated on the foliage, and at the very top, was fixed. It was really splendid. Beyond description, splendid. This evening, they all said, how it will shine this evening.
What is to happen now?
The lights burn. He's seeking himself underneath the sand.
Now we are in the shade. The tree can listen too. But I shall tell only one story. Now which will you have? That about Ivy the Avenue? Or about Humpty Dumpty, who tumbled downstairs and yet after all came to the throne and married the princess?
Ivy the Avenue, cried the son. Humpty Dumpty, cried the others.
There was such a bawling and screaming. The fir tree alone was silent. He thought to himself,
am I not to brawl with the rest? Am I to do nothing whatever?
For he was one of the company, and had done what he had to do. The old man told about Humpty Dumpty that tumbled down, who not withstanding came to the throne and at last married the princess. And the children clapped their hands and cried,
oh, go on, do go on.
They wanted to hear about Ivy Avenue too, but the little man only told them about Humpty Dumpty. The fir tree stood quite still, absorbed in thought. The birds in the wood had never related the like of this.
Humpty Dumpty fell downstairs, and yet he married the princess. Yes, yes, that's the way of the world,
thought the fir tree, and believed it all, because the man who told the story was so good-looking.
Well, well, who knows? Perhaps I may fall downstairs too, and get a princess as wife.
Look full of joy to the morrow. He hoped to be decked out again with lights, playthings, fruits, and tinsel.
I won't tremble tomorrow, thought the fir tree. I will enjoy to the full all my splendor. Tomorrow I shall hear again the story of Humpty Dumpty, and perhaps that of Ivy Avenue too.
And the whole night, the tree stood still and in deep thought. In the morning, the servant and the housemaid came in.
Now the splendor will begin again,
thought the fir. But they dragged him out of the room and up the stairs into the loft. And here, in a dark corner, where no daylight could enter,
what's the meaning of this?
Thought the tree.
What am I to do here? What shall I hear now, I wonder?
He leaned against the wall, lost in reverie. Time enough had he too for his reflections, for days and nights passed on. Nobody came up. And when at last somebody
now winter out of doors, thought the tree. The earth is hard and covered with snow. Men cannot plant me now, and therefore I have been put up here under shelter till the springtime comes. How thoughtful that is! How kind man is after all! If only we're not so dark here and so terribly lonely. Not even a hare. And out in the woods it was so pleasant. And the snow was on the ground and the hare leaped by. Yes, even when he jumped over me. But I did not like it then. It really is terribly lonely here.
Squeak, squeak,
said the little mouse at the same moment, peeping out of his hole. And then another little one came. They snuffed about the fir tree and rustled among the branches.
I, said the fir tree, think
hear what the tree recounted, the more he related, the more he remembered himself. And it appeared as if those times had been happy times. But they may still come. They may still come. Humpty Dumpty fell downstairs, and yet he got a princess. And he thought the moment the nice little birch tree growing out in the woods, to that fir, that would be a real the lindens were in blossom, the
swallows flew by and said,
"Kirrivit, my husband is come."
But it was not the fir tree that they met.
"Now then, I shall really enjoy life," he said exultingly,
and spread out his branches. Alas, they were all withered and yellow. It was in a corner that he lay, among weeds and nettles. The golden star of tinsel was still on the top of the tree and glittered in the sunshine. In the courtyard, some of the merry children were playing who had danced at Christmas round the fir tree and were so glad at the sight of him. One of the youngest ran and tore off the golden star.
"Only left what is still on the ugly old Christmas tree," said he,
trampling on the branches so that they all cracked beneath his feet. And the tree beheld all the beauty of the flowers and the freshness in the garden. He beheld himself and wished he had remained in his dark corner in the loft. He thought of his first youth in the wood, of the merry Christmas Eve, and of the little mice who had listened with so much pleasure to the story of Humpty Dumpty.
"'Tis over, 'tis past," said the poor tree. "Had I but rejoiced when I had reason to do so. But now 'tis past, 'tis past."
And the garden